Well, it's a joy to get started here in the Word of God this morning, and thank you again for being with us. And as you notice, the choir is staying up today, this week, and next week, just to give a little extra room, and we're looking forward to those special services Brother Daniel was talking about on Christmas Day. We'll have just a timely service. It'll be 11. We'll be done at an hour or less, and you can put it into your schedule if you're in town. We'd certainly love to have you here. And then that Christmas Eve service, I do want you to really be thinking about who you could invite as a guest to come on that day. Our church needs to be known around the area as a place that's welcome for everybody. You say, well, is it? Well, that's what we want. We want to be welcoming to every person that comes. And you say, well, what if they don't normally go to church? That's who we want. Well, if they do normally go to church, well, that's the one we want. What if they're not used to it? Well, that's the one. We just want it open to everybody. And we're certainly thankful for this holiday season that we get to give an opportunity to have people here in church. And we're thankful for the opportunity also to just proclaim the Lord's birth. Well, we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, and as we find your place in familiar passage of Luke chapter 2, I did hear this story about this lady that was going some Christmas shopping as you look and find your place in Luke 2:8, and she was doing her shopping. She got back to the back to her car, and she found four guys that were getting into her car, and so she just dropped all those bags and grabbed her purse and got this big .357 out there and said and proclaimed to them that she was armed and she knew how to use this and to get out of her car. And so those four men were no dummies. They may have been trying to steal the car, but they certainly weren't dummies. So they ran like mad. And so finally, she was just so shaken, she gathered all of her stuff up and got it back in. And the car doors were open because they were already in there. And so she set those in the back. And finally, she relaxed and sat down in the driver's seat. And she was so shaken, though, that she couldn't even get her key in the ignition. And finally, though, she started to be less trembling, but still couldn't get it in there. And finally figured out it wouldn't fit because it wasn't her car. So she looks, I know I parked somewhere here, so sure enough, there was a car just like hers, or that was a car just like hers, but hers was about four or five cars down. So she went and gathered her stuff and put it in her car, started it, and thought, well, I better go confess to my crimes. And so she went to the police station and said that I wanted to report a crime. She said, well, okay, what happened? Well, she said there were four or five guys around my car, and she said all of the things that had happened, and she said, I just want to turn myself in. And the police officer just chuckled, and he said, well, that would explain these guys. There's four guys down at the end of the counter, still white as a ghost, and they had come to report a carjacking by a mad old white lady with a gun. So be careful when you're done shopping. I know it's tiring, but make sure you get to the right car. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and when they were in the same, and there were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The one little boy was reading that in Sunday school one time, and he said, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sure afraid. It's close. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I want to preach a message for this morning, this hour that we have, entitled, How About Some Peace on Earth? And I trust it'll answer a question because I've had it for some time, and the Lord seemed to bring some things together to me some time back. You know, we say there's peace on earth. That's what the Scripture says. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But I ask the question, how about a little peace on earth? And I want to preach and hopefully answer the question that I've had for some time and trust that it'll be a blessing to you. Father, I pray that you'd meet with us now again in this hour, these next moments that we have. I pray, dear Lord, that we could continue to sense, I believe, your presence and your help. And Lord, I just ask you to do something in the hearts of everyone here. There are folks that are hurting this morning. I pray that you would comfort. Lord, there are others that their walk with you isn't like it should be. And I pray, dear Lord, that today they would get that rekindled. And then, Lord, there's others that are possibly unsaved. And I pray for them that they would see the only way to have true peace is to have the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, in their life. Bless us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bruce Barnesfather was a was a British writer and a humorist, but also fought in World War I. He tells a story about Christmas in 1914 when he was in battle. He said, "I would have never want to miss it if I'd ever had my life to live over again. I wouldn't want to miss that unique and weird Christmas." He said that the story is much longer than this, but this is the crux of it. There had been some exchange of words across no man's land where they didn't come and you didn't go. This was the battle zone there, but it was quiet. It was Christmas Eve, moving into Christmas morning. And one of his superiors had heard some singing on the enemy side, and word had got around that singing was going on over there, and there was seemingly some joy on the German side. And so they all moved, many of them moved over to the foxhole and the trench that went down that way, and they could hear that. And eventually a volley of words got back and forth with a lot of suspicion. They were finally agreeing together to meet. And the story would go on, true story, they would go on. There's later movies made about it. But the sermon, some German soldiers hollered out in their native dialect or in their accent, "Merry Christmas." And so some Germans were meeting with some English soldiers, first time since or before. One soldier wrote his mom to the day of Christmas, and he said, "Mom, I'm smoking some tobacco from a German soldier." And then he, knowing what she would think, and said, "No, Mom, I mean a live German soldier who had given it to me." And on that day in 1914, there were exchanges of gifts, of different rations that the soldiers would have. And you say, "Well, that's a neat story, preacher. That's a wonderful thing to tell." But that still didn't cease the fighting, and no, it didn't. And so I asked that question, if there's peace on earth, goodwill toward men, where is it? Why isn't that out there? I want to give you a few points and trust to be a blessing. I want you to see, first of all, the deliverance of peace. The Bible says in verse number 15, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem to see this thing." What thing did they want to see? They want to see the Christ child. They want to see peace. Christmas of 1999, Amy and I went home. We lived in Iowa then. We served at a church, and we went home to announce in some unique ways that Amy had come up with that we were going to be blessed with a little one, and we were the next year. He's not so little anymore, but Jared was born in 2000. And all the precious proclamation, and if you've had that joy of giving that proclamation to your family members, how wonderful it is. And sometimes even in worse than ideal circumstances, sometimes an announcement will be made, but that baby still brings a joy. Amy's nephew now has his third little one, and it's always amazing. Things can be helter-skelter, and they be hectic and all of that, and when somebody brings a little one into the room, it seems to change the atmosphere, doesn't it? Well, I don't mean when they're crying. That changes the atmosphere too, you understand. I've heard from many, many people that the joy of babies is when you're the grandparents, because that's the way when they start crying, you can hand them back. And I know what you do as those grandkids grow and they get a little taller. Then you pump them full of sugar and all kinds of energy-producing substance and say, "Good, go on back." It's like those little tops that you used to pull that zip string on. You remember those? Zoom! And then that just wheel goes, and you open your door and send the grandkids out. Well, it's always amazing to me how much of a joy babies are when they come into the room and somebody's carrying them in. But this baby was not like that. The Lord Jesus Christ, and there was a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Well, remember this, that not since the Garden of Eden, when sin was introduced, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, back in the Garden of Eden, through Adam and Eve, as they sinned, the Bible says, and so death was passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And ever since that time, there had been this death that was passed upon mankind. And even the Old Testament sacrifices, they would have to be done again and again and again, some of them yearly and some of them on a daily basis. But those sacrifices would have to be recommitted again and again. But now we're on the cusp, as we read this passage, of that time when there was truly peace on earth, because the deliverance of peace was on that wonderful night in Bethlehem. But if there was that wonderful deliverance of peace, I bring you to my next question, why isn't there worldwide peace? If the Prince of Peace entered into the world, why doesn't everybody get along? I'd like to give you an illustration, a story that some preacher had told, a true story. He said one afternoon his wife Cindy called from the bank that she worked at, and she was hysterical on the phone. She said the diamond fell out of my wedding ring, and she was just broken up about it. And she said one of the prongs broke loose, and I have no idea where it is. And that preacher said that my mind flashed back to over 20 years ago when we were having difficulty making it. We were living on peanut butter jelly sandwiches and ramen noodles and the things that kids get by on. Sometimes you wonder how they get by on it, but they do through college. And he says, my mind went back, and when I finally scraped together $750 to buy the most beautiful gem in the whole jewelry store. He said, now I was the only one that believed it was the most beautiful gem, because he said it had a major flaw in it. It was only half a carat, but he said it was a beautiful thing to me. He said, my mind went back to when I gave that to her, and then we were later wed. But his hysterical wife on the phone, he said, I'll be down there, and he was able to leave. And so he thought I should go and retrace her steps. And so he went to their van where she parked, and he got in it and looked everywhere that she might have reached or reached over here or did this, but still to no avail. But he said, Lord, please let me find that. Cindy is hysterical, and we want to find it because she would be blessed of it. And so he said that he got up out of the van and he started looking across the parking lot, though. There were little cinders and rocks and different your trash on a parking lot. But he said, Lord, please. And you might know by now, because I'm telling the story, that he said it just so happened that he caught the glimmer of something in one of the cracks of the sidewalk between the van and upward toward the bank where she worked. And sure enough, it was that diamond out of there. He said, as he described the story, he said he went in there and he had it firmly clasped between his finger and his thumb, and he held it up when he got in the bank lobby, and he said, I found it, I found it. He said, everybody looked at me like I was weird, like I was some kind of maniac. And he said, but one person didn't look that way. Cindy was so excited, and she ran to him. He said, it was so funny now looking back on it, they were kind of embarrassed. He said, it looked like we were the ending of a romantic movie. We hugged there in the bank like we had done some great and marvelous thing. And he said, to her, it was a great and marvelous thing. But to everybody else, their day went on like nothing had happened. And why isn't there worldwide peace? Because to much of the world, the birth of Jesus Christ in the manger hasn't affected them like it has you. To all the patrons of that bank, them losing or finding a diamond had very little effect on their life. And you know, to the people who don't know Jesus Christ, His coming in Bethlehem, although they're greatly benefited by it because of so much research and medical advancements and hospitals and do-good organizations have been started in the name of Christ, so they are bettered because of that. But by and large, their life is unaffected. So why isn't there worldwide peace? Because everybody hasn't accepted the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, into their life and into their heart. So I see this morning that the reason there's not that worldwide peace is because that this world has yet to accept Him. Now, we live in what many people call a Christian nation. There are some that would say, no, we never were, and if we were, we are now. But we are a nation that was founded upon Christian principles. And so our nation is greatly affected, but even our nation, we run headlong away from what God wants. We pump out things and videos. There's so much wicked. I've read the statistics before, how many millions and millions of hours of pornographic material are created in our nation to just ruin the lives of people as it's pumped out. And so we have run headlong away from what God wants us to do. We ignore His advice. We ignore His commands in Scripture. And so much of our world, much of our nation is unaffected by the birth of the Savior in Bethlehem. But just because the world is unaffected, can I tell you that the message is still the same? The message is just as powerful. If it were, though, so that somebody had a cure for some disease, and if most of the world ignored that opportunity and they looked at it as skeptical and they said, I don't want to involve myself with it, but the people that took advantage of that cure would be cured just the same. I say to you, although many of the world rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, they may not reject him as far as a person. They say, well, yeah, we know he lived, but they don't receive him as their personal Savior. The Bible still says that wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. We understand that it's not the popular position to say, I want to be a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, but to, as just as that lady Cindy's diamond was found, to her, it meant all of the world that her husband came in and said, I found it. Can I tell you what means all the world to me? That my father, when he was a sailor in San Diego at a serviceman center, that he was able to stand after receiving Christ as Savior and say, I found him. Or better yet, he found me. But we live in a world that we're still searching for peace in some other form, some other fashion. You know, that's why I'm so excited about our Christmas Eve service, why I'm so excited about our Christmas Day service, excited about the opportunities that we have here at the church in this season, because as I mentioned, our invite cards that are out there, this is the best time to give out invitations. If the gospel is on the back, different events that they can be involved in. It's the most wonderful time of the year, as somebody said, but it's the most wonderful time to invite people to church, because I'm still proclaiming, and I want each of us to be those proclaimers, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Prince of Peace, and he would change anyone's life that they would allow him to. I give you this last point as we look toward the close today. And I see today your invitation to peace. You say, oh, preacher, I'm already saved. I already have that. Can I tell you that there are many Christians that are living without the peace that God wants them to have in their life? We have forfeited much of the peace that God promises we can have. My peace I give unto you, said Jesus, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. But the Bible says that God offers us peace as a Christian because we have the peace of knowing what's going to happen. We have the peace of knowing what's going to be at the end. We have the peace of knowing that God will care for all of the things that we don't know. It's about like some of you, if you have kids and grandkids, you have grandkids and kids that want to desperately so much know what's wrapped up under that tree. If you've got a tree in your house, you've got presents there. They want to desperately know what I'm getting. But there's somebody that knows. Mom and Dad know. Grandma and Grandpa know. And I liken that in many ways to the way of what's happening in this world. Some people say, what in the world is going on? I heard somebody say, this whole world is falling apart. And then somebody correct them and says, no, as a Christian, it's not falling apart. It's falling into place of what God said it's going to do. And so like a parent would know what's under that, what's in that wrapped tree, or wrapped present rather, a kid doesn't know, but the parent does. And a Bible believer knows what's going to happen in this old world. The unsaved world may say, this is bad, and it is bad. This is really bad, and it is really bad. But to you as a Christian, you read the Scripture, you know the return of the Lord, and you know the things that are going to happen. My friend, I'm just saying to you that there are answers in that book that all of us need to give us peace. Why is it that many of our Christians are battling the same issues that somebody who doesn't know the Lord? Why is it that we forfeit the peace that God says we can have? He says, the Scriptures in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus speaking, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A word much like peace. Yet again, many of our Christians, we forfeit that. So I say this morning, if you're a Christian, you know the Lord is your Savior, but you're wrestling with so many things on the inside. Can I tell you your answer? The answer is that babe in the manger, Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's a sweet story, and I love that story. But not only that story about the babe in the manger, but that babe in the manger grew, and 33 and a half years later, he went to an old rugged cross, which we've depicted up here in the front of this auditorium just to remind us what we stand for here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. But that babe in a manger didn't stay a babe. He went to the cross, and he was the sinless, perfect Son of God. He was in the manger. He was on the cross, and he died on that cross for your sins and for mine. And can I tell you why I have peace in my life and my heart today? Not because I became a preacher and went into the ministry, and not because I have a wonderful family, although I do. Not because I want a great wife that helps and supports and does so many things, and I do have that. But the reason I have peace is because when I lay my head down tonight, I'll have something tonight that I didn't have for years and years. Can I tell you what that is? That's the assurance that if I don't wake up on this side, my eternity is settled. You see, for years I would lie awake at night worrying, if I don't wake up tomorrow, where will I wake up? But I'll go to bed tonight. Now, if I eat too late, I might not sleep good. If I the deacons are having a get together after church. If we eat too much and I do some different things, I may not sleep good. But it won't be because I'm worried about where I'm going. Maybe because I had too much chicken fingers or whatever we're having over there. I don't worry about that. You're looking at a man who has peace. And so I'm telling you this morning, if you're here today and you've got those same rumblings that I had and about everybody else did, concerns and worries and frettings, what will happen to me at the end? Oh, you don't tell in front of everybody, but you have those internal fears. What will happen to me at the end? The Bible says that peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I already told you it's not a blanket statement that the whole world's in peace, because you know that's not true. It will be when the Prince of Peace reigns. But if you're here tonight and you have those, well, best I can describe it as that churning and that rumbling inside of you, those worries and concerns, because what will be my end? That babe in the manger, as I said, didn't stay a babe, but went to the cross, died on that cross. Three days later, he rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave, so that you and I could have peace. I can't promise world peace. You know, we have leaders that want to say they can. And there will be a Superman leader one of these days, the Bible talks about, that will promise that, and most of the world will just follow him headlong. I can't promise that because the Bible doesn't say it. But I can tell you that you can personally, individually have peace, because the only way to have peace in this life is to have peace in the life hereafter, and that is to have your salvation settled. And the only way you can have that is what Jesus promised. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if you're here today and you're not sure that your sins are forgiven, no wonder you're not at peace. But if you would come to Christ and receive Him as the Savior of your soul, then peace could come and would come. And then to the other group that's here, those Christians, that you do know you're saved. You say, preacher, I know that. But you and I, sometimes we forfeit that peace. And you know what that is? That's us getting our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and getting our eyes on all that this world is doing. It's hard not to. Well, we've got 24/7 news coverage. We've got blogs everywhere, and we've got vlogs everywhere, and we've got everything else that just pumps out all that's going on. And it's so hard for me to keep my eyes on the Lord because there's so much going on around here. And when I get my eyes off Him and get Him on the problems of this world, guess what I'm forfeiting a little bit of? That peace. So if you're here as a Christian today, a friend of mine, he didn't have a television in his home. He didn't watch much. And he was a preacher and just proclaimed. Somebody said to him, he said, how in the world do you keep up with what's going on? How do you keep up on what's going on in the world? You don't have a television. You don't watch those things. And he asked back, which world are you talking about? And he grabbed his Bible and said, I'm trying to keep up with what world this talks about. And I'm not saying that you should do that, but it does raise a good question. When we get our eyes on this world so much, it makes us uneasy. Now, we have to live. We've got to go be and have our being. And we all know that. Most of us, you go to work, you got to do all these different things. But let's not forget, our peace doesn't reside in this world. Our peace resides in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've used this illustration just a few weeks ago, or a couple months possibly, but it fits so well here. There was a king that commissioned people in his kingdom to bring artistry in that would show what peace really was. It came down to two finalists, and one had a beautiful, serene lake with some reflections of the hillside beside of it, and it was just a calm, peaceful, everything beautiful, and everybody was certain that that would win. But the second final contestant, the one that actually won, was a raging waterfall with angry clouds and the mist coming out from that waterfall as it would crash against the jaggedy rocks below. But right in the center of that waterfall was a scrawny little branch that stuck out with a bird's nest out there. And this mama bird was sitting on some eggs with her little eyelids closed, at peace, even in the midst of all of that angry turmoil. Well, folks, I can't change the world, and you can't either, with its angry turmoil. But we can be as peaceful as that little bird in the nest, sticking out from the wretched waterfall, because the Lord is our shepherd. And the Lord, that same Lord that's our shepherd, was the babe in the manger that grew up and was our Savior. And now for these years, I again don't go to bed with my worries and frets and fears. I go to bed at peace. So why is there not peace on all the earth? Well, because all the earth hasn't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. But you, my friend, if you've been wondering why there's such concern and worry and fretting in your life, I would submit to you that it's because you don't have the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. And if you do have the Lord as your Savior, maybe your eyes have been on the wrong world, as my friend said. We've been looking at this world too much when we ought to be looking at that world. So how about it today? How about some peace on earth? Father, we pray that you'd bless the time today. And Lord, I pray for each and every person in attendance. Lord, I pray two things. First of all, if there's one or several that are in this room unsaved, I pray that right now you would arrest their attention, convict their soul, and show them their need of salvation through Jesus Christ. And I pray, dear Lord, that they would do holy business with you and receive you. You said in your word, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That Savior, Messiah, peace on earth, Jesus, that Jesus, wants to save everybody in this that's listening. Once it came for the whole world. And if there's one that's unsaved, I pray that today, dear Lord, they would know that they are receiving Christ as their personal Savior. It's a faith thing. And Lord, I pray that they would do business with you. And then for the ones that are saved, but they've been fretting, they've been worrying, they're not living in peace. Lord, would you teach them today? They're going to have to look up. They're going to have to look up to the heavenly world, look up to the one that has it all taken care of. They're going to have to get their eyes off some of the horizontal landscape and get more vertical in their search, get more vertical in their lookings, and look to thee. Bless us, I pray, dear Lord, and we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. As you stand together, if you're able to, as the instrumentalists begin to play. And here's my invitation to you. Just as I said in the message, if you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, you're like me, worrying, fretting, where am I going to go if something were to happen to me? Would you step out from your seat and come? There's one, Brother Daniel, the assistant pastor, is right in front of the pulpit on the ground level, the floor level there, that would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved. Anybody at all, not sure that heaven's your home from the balcony or the main floor, this is too important not to get it settled today. Would you step out and come? To those of you, our heads are bowed, those of you who are saved. How many of you like me would say, "Preacher, sometimes I get my eyes too much on this world and I don't have the peace that I should"? Would you lift your hand up? My hand's up. I'm telling you, I start looking around. Thank you, moon down. How about a little peace on earth? I can't change the commotion that Satan and the flesh and the world is producing. I can't change that. But we can focus on the things that really matter and give peace in our hearts. The Lord can. You don't have to forfeit that peace any longer. No, you do not. You can live at peace in the midst of a perverse generation. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I give you one more request. If you're here and not sure you're saved, would you step out from your seat and just make a way down and get this settled about your salvation? Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it's been a joy to be in God's house this morning. Just a couple of announcements as you leave today. There'll be somebody back in the lobby right in the center in front of those columns and the beautiful tree that's out there. There's somebody there taking care of a table. There's some gifts for you. There are cup holder coasters, and they've got a little logo from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and just a little gift from us to you. I trust that you'll be blessed by that. But again, if you're a guest with us this morning, first time or first time in a long time, there's a guest services counter out there that we'd love for you to stop by and drop that card off. We'll have a record of your visit. I'll send you a note, but they've got a gift for you just for being our guest, so you can remember your time here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Hopefully you come often. And I'd like to ask you this. As Daniel mentioned, there are some Bible reading schedules out there. They're right by guest services as well. There are several different options, chronological and then just straight through, in different ways that you can read. And many Christians I know that they haven't read the Bible through all the way yet once. But you know, it's a good thing as a Bible believer to have read it all the way through. There are some parts that you have to be quite honest. Sometimes it gets laborious in some of those historical parts that you wonder why God put in there. Well, remember this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. Now, it may be profitable in different ways, and some of the lineages and all of those things, and they helped establish timelines and things like that. But I would challenge you to think about next year, if you've never read it all the way through, grab one of those papers and read with me through that. We'll read it through together in this coming year, if God tarries is coming, and we'll have a good time. But those, regardless of that, we'll meet you out there. Amy and I will have some a basket of some candy. If you're a kid under, what's that one song from kids, the 1 to 92? We'll even let you fudge on that 92 part. If you're above that, we'll still give it to you. We don't mind. So thank you for being in church this morning. What a wonderful, wonderful time to get to be together. Choir, thank you for being up here behind me, and appreciate that. God bless you. We'll see you this evening. If you're able to come at 6:30, you're dismissed.